Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One thing I know is that I am always making excuses for not reading the Bible. I'm terrible at being consistent about it. Yet I know that's what I need most in life. You'd think that would just be easy to pick up a book and read it, but nope. I usually find literally anything else to do other than reading, even for like 10 or 15 minutes. Thankfully, I found a tool that's actually been helpful for being consistent in reading the Bible, and that app's called Dwell. Dwell has built the most beautiful listening and reading experience for the Bible. They've got over a dozen new recordings of the Bible, hand-picked, silky smooth voices that will engage and inspire you. And they've got the best versions of the Bible too, like the ESV and NIV. One of the coolest things about Dwell is their read-along experience. Like if you've ever seen Apple Music's lyrics feature, then that's exactly what you can expect from the read-along feature at Dwell. Beautifully designed backgrounds, big, bold text scrolls as the narrator reads to you. If you've got trouble getting in the habit of consistently reading the Bible like me, you should at least give Dwell a try. Go to dwellapp.io/preachersandsneakers to get 10% off a yearly subscription or 33% off Dwell for life. My wife and I use Dwell all the time as a great alternative to reading the Word. As someone who's not great at being organized, the reading plans that they have as well are a helpful tool. So again, to get started with Dwell, go to dwellapp.io/preachersandsneakers to get 10% off a yearly subscription or 33% off Dwell for life. 33% off means you save $50. So make sure to visit dwellapp.io/preachersandsneakers and commit to Scripture for the rest of this year or for your life. This is still an experiment for the podcast, but I'm trying to switch it up. I'm trying to make it a little fresher than just the stale old record on Audition, chop it, edit it, post it on Buzzsprout or whatever. Honestly, it's for my own sake. It's just that gets pretty boring after a while. And so I'm trying to add different avenues by which we could do this podcast, make it more interesting. And, you know, for those that are watching or watching later, we appreciate you being here. It's the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. This is episode 4. And it's another Q&A episode. It's just yours truly, your boy BK, on the mic instead of an interview-based podcast. I like to switch it up, do these every once in a while where we can talk more about sounds so narcissistic where we can talk about me. But usually on the other, most of the other podcasts, we're talking about somebody else. And so I put out a question about a request for Q&A questions on Instagram. I got a bunch of responses. I haven't really looked at them yet. I'm just going to read them live and get into those in a minute. If you haven't, one shameless plug, if you haven't gotten the Preachers and Sneakers book, head on over to preachersandsneakers.com and pick up a copy of the book, either in print form, audio form, or Kindle form, audiobook. I actually narrated it, and there's an interview with Judah Smith at the end. But if you're watching this currently, you probably knew that already. It's been a while since I've really posted anything. Life has been pretty busy on my end between baby stuff and business stuff. You know, I'd focused the past basically 2 months exclusively on just the release of the book. And why is it still? Pause that. Wasn't supposed to do that. Past 2 months spent basically just on the release of the book, and while also trying to keep a baby alive, of which we are succeeding technically, but failing in terms of the details. I think we're figuring it out as we go, as many past parents have done as well. Although it's super fun, super cute kid, and a very fulfilling role. You know, as I sit here and talk on a podcast in my lair while my wife actually does the real work. I mean, I just married a saint woman. Anyways, if you're watching this on Twitch, be sure to like and follow and sub the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. And We're doing a Q&A episode. Like I said earlier, I put out a request on Instagram last night for some Q's and some A's, and we can get into the Q's. A couple things before, though. Did y'all see this Hillsong thing? That is the new Hillsong. There's like a pastor, a female pastor at Hillsong, like Connecticut or something, that's got these additional accusations towards Carl Lentz from the past. Dude, if you haven't read this article, bro, it's insane. And I hope Hillsong takes it seriously. You know, the Hillsong PR team has got to be just so over this, man. Just exhausting stuff to continue to have to see your people in the headlines literally every other week, it seems like. But yeah, some pastor at Hillsong Connecticut who used to work for Carl has all these allegations of sexual abuse and stuff towards him, and that came out like yesterday through pretty legitimate news sources. And it's hard for me to think of a reason why she would make all that stuff up, but we shall see. That's the tough thing about being a public figure, having your ministry in at the forefront of media and news and all that kind of stuff, because this kind of stuff keeps getting brought into the mainstream, and that kind of makes it worse for yourself. So I hope they investigate it, and I hope they get to the bottom of it. I know everybody would like to see Hillsong turn the corner and point people to Jesus instead of constantly in a PR battle with the mainstream media. Also, in kind of the same vein, did you see Jay Biebs basically leading worship at Church Home this weekend? Maybe, was it this weekend? I think so. Jay Biebs, Chandler Moore, some element of Maverick City music was there, at least Chandler Moore. I'm even sure if is he officially part of Maverick City music, or do they always just feature him? Because the dude's got pipes. I got on his IG Live and said, hey, this guy's got pipes. Chandler Moore is the real thing. I mean, as is Jay Biebs, but there's most likely having a post come out about Jay Biebs kicks later tonight that probably will bring out the Bieber stands and dish out some more vitriol towards me. Should be fun. Looking forward to that. But anyways, back to the Q&A. I don't have a ton of time. I'm going to try to keep this under 30 minutes. But heading to your questions, and if you've got more questions, you could drop them in the chat in Twitch as well, and in YouTube, monitoring those as well. Let me click on multi-stream here and make sure. It says it's read only. Refresh this chat. Well, I'm at least monitoring the Twitch chat. If you're on Twitch, drop your questions if you've got anything. But getting into it in no particular order. I don't know if I should read the names of the people asking questions. I guess not. I'll just read the questions. Am I ready to go back to church? Should I even go back to church? Well, it depends on what your goal with going back to church is. Is it to check a box? Is it to get a blessing? Then probably not, because that's not what it's there for. But if you're searching for meaning and salvation and a savior, then yeah, I think that's probably a good start. You would do well to research maybe some churches in your area before you just jump into the best looking one or the coolest sounding one. If you're choosing your church based on Instagram, you're probably going to be disappointed in one way or the other. So I would say maybe put some actual research into the church you want to go back. But I hope you choose to. I also hope you choose to go for the right reasons and not for to treat God as a little genie in a bottle, because that's shouldn't be the reason you go back. Someone asked, tell us about your time as a Marine. Thank you for your service. You're welcome. For my service, I was happy to do it, but also happy to be out. I got out in 2015, even though, you know, it looks like I was in the Marines yesterday, clearly. Just the same fighting weight, everything. This is exactly how I looked in the Marine Corps 6 years ago. 6 years ago, jeez. I was in the Marines from 2011, depending on how you look at it, like give or take some training, 2011 to 2015 as a logistics officer. I spent a year in the flight program and decided that the 10-year commitment that they were asking for with that comes along with the flight program, it seemed like that was probably a little much. And so I lateral moved to logistics. I remained in the logistics space throughout the entirety of my career and did a deployment to Eastern Europe and bebopped around Eastern Europe countries, doing some logistics type functions, doing some planning and training, all with a spectacular team of Marines that were just way, way better Marines than I could ever be on the enlisted side. But yeah, I enjoyed my time in the Marines. It was tough. My back got destroyed. My lumbar is forever ruined from it, but, you know, it's part of it. That's why they call it sacrifice, I guess. And I also had like the easiest, not the easiest, but I had a pretty easy Marine Corps career compared to some people that were literally going on deployments every 6 months. But, I miss it sometimes just because there's not many things else in life that have such a purpose connected to it. And so when you get out of the Marines, it's kind of hard to adjust to civilian life and trying to find meaning in life because, you know, everything is wrapped around being a Marine and serving the country and basically sacrificing your life or being prepared to. And then when you get out, it's just like there's not many things that that are equal to that. So that took a while to get used to, but definitely happy to be out now because there's definitely some drudgery that goes into being a Marine. On we go. How can Christians keep their faith in a world that is increasingly antagonistic towards all religions? That's a very deep question. I think having community around you that shares your beliefs and can encourage you while you encourage them is pretty important. If you're trying to live any kind of faith by yourself in a vacuum, it's going to be pretty easy to get discouraged, to feel alone, and to want to give up. I mean, why would you continue? Like, no one has the willpower. Willpower is like a limited resource, I think. And so when you're going through tough times and such, and you're trying to live your faith isolated, it's pretty easy to just be like, I'm good, bro. I can feel miserable outside of this without having all the extra requirements and reading assignments, you know? But if you really wanted to, what's up? Jordan P03. Thanks for the follow, bro. See, we're live. We're on Twitch here, baby. We're doing it live. Thanks, dude. I should have adjusted that volume because that's totally going to derail me. But I think practically having community around you to encourage you and to speak into the lies maybe that you're believing about yourself or the tough times that you're going through is super important. And if you can just affect the circle around you, the circle around your community, that's about all you can do. I mean, in a world that is antagonistic towards all religions, I mean, Jesus, no, I appreciate the follow, Jordan P. Let me be real. I appreciate the follow. No sweat. I'm just a noob. And so I'm a noob with ADD. And so it's, you know, it's easy to get derailed. But God said, we're going to have trouble and we're going to be hated. And so if I think it's to be expected that the world is going to be increasingly antagonistic towards, you know, religions or a relationship, if depending on how you see it. But good question, though. Same person asked, favorite low budget sneakers? Dude, I barely wear shoes at all right now. I mean, I've been working on some business stuff, and so I wear shoes for that. But around the house, I've literally not wearing shoes that much. But I would say, I mean, low budget is such a relative term, but Vans are pretty consistently low budget. I like those a lot. And I wear Ultra Boosts every day, and you can find Ultra Boosts at the outlet, I think, for a pretty good price, or on sale sometimes, like Finish Line, all that kind of stuff. Those are the two I would say. What do you think about the IG account Profits and Watches hijacking your idea? I don't care. I'm friends with the guy, and he knows a ton about watches. I know nothing about watches. The watches are insane. I mean, the watches, I'm surprised people don't freak out more about those than they do about the sneakers, because the watches, I mean, we're talking like $17,000 to $40,000 watches these dudes are wearing. And people are like, it's probably a gift. Multiple $40,000 watches, dude. It's crazy. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying the whole idea is crazy. Imagine wearing something worth $40,000 on your wrist. Sure, there's like some investment value to it, maybe, which is the better. Like, and if you're comparing that to the sneakers, it's better, I guess, to have watches because it's got some resale value or retained value, unlike sneakers where you basically lose all the value once you wear them. But yeah, Profits of Watches, he does a good job. And, you know, if he liked the way that I was presenting my content and he modeled it after that, so be it, bro. I'm not building an empire here and I've got nothing to prove, really. So, I'm all good with it, bro. Culture. Sorry. I wasn't going to read the names of the people asking questions. What are your favorite movies and shows? I'm going to be honest. We watch a lot of TV here. And I make plenty of excuses for not reading my Bible and doing things that matter. And somehow we find a lot of time to watch TV. Recently, we just finished Mayor of Easttown on HBO, which was outstanding. Kate Winslet's going to win all the awards for that show. We just started watching The Mosquito Coast, which is weird. It hasn't fully developed yet, but we've enjoyed watching that one so far. And then when our baby isn't screaming his head off, sometimes we like to go to bed watching The Office. So those are three that come to mind immediately. What is your testimony? That's a heady question. Basically, grew up in a Christian home and gave my life to Jesus probably age 8 or so, when you are prepared to make really deep, impactful life decisions at age 8. You really know what you're getting into when you're 8. But that's when I got baptized. That's when I prayed the prayer, quote unquote, if you're from the Bible Belt. But I've since been a flawed idiot Christian. Since then, I had my ups and downs into college, into the Marines, out of the Marines, now into the business world, and now into this weird social media world. And so I've definitely done it imperfectly, but trying my best. You know, it's a real efforts-based thing, Christianity. Okay, celebrity pastors. Pastors' fault or the enabling congregations? Ooh, hot sports opinions here. It's definitely both, probably. And I don't know if you can completely call, like, the idea of a celebrity pastor is a byproduct, the natural sometimes byproduct of some dude just being talented or well-spoken. But it is, I think, the pastor's responsibility to manage how much he or she builds off of that notoriety. I mean, you can definitely tell the guys that are all about building their image and their platforms versus the others that are just trying to do the job. And I think it's pretty easy to see. So you definitely have a responsibility to manage that notoriety. For whatever reason, God is giving you some notoriety. And so that's probably something to steward, of which I have to do the same, whatever low level of notoriety I have. But it's definitely also us as congregations' fault, because we love celebrities. And we love the idea that our guy or girl is well-known or famous, or people come from all over to see or hear him speak. You know, we like that feeling of giddiness when you interact with somebody who's perceived as a celebrity. I definitely like that. I like hanging out with important people or impressive people or people that are hard to get access to. That feels pretty good. And so, of course, that translates into a church context. But I think as congregations, we have to be careful And I think it's loving to try to protect your personal pastor against the pitfalls of fame, wealth, power, all that kind of stuff. I mean, power and fame can be pretty polluting from time to time. And you just have to basically Google the word pastor and hit click on news, and there should be something that comes up about how power and fame corrupts. So it's definitely our responsibility too as congregations to take care of our pastor and not put the irrational, terrible expectations on our pastor as if they're like some super anointed, gifted miracle worker, when in fact they're just a dude or a girl trying their best to serve their calling or to fulfill God's calling on their life. And that's it. It shouldn't be about who's the better pastor, who's got the most entertaining service, or who's got the catchiest music, or any of that kind of stuff. And we should push for our churches to demand more of us, to challenge us, and not just provide a 2-hour entertainment service, from my perspective. Top one or two reasons people keep going to these churches. I'm assuming you're talking about the hip and cool churches, and maybe I'll throw prosperity churches in there too, even though those are two different things, I think. I think one is that they're pretty fun to go to, where everything's curated in a way that is encouraging, motivating, feels good, gets you to feel something, this is a really amateur hour operation. My hounds will bark at anything that moves. This is why I need a studio, or at least like a shipping container that I can record my podcast in. So top one reason, it's entertaining. It's fun. It's like, it's cool to go to these services that are really well done. And two, I think, many people want a different church experience than what they grew up with or what their parents grew up going to. Or I know plenty of people that have said, I'm done with whatever that version of Christianity is that I grew up with, because it was stuffy, it was judgy, it mishandled some pretty important topics that I think could have been handled better. So top one or two reasons, I think. One, because they're entertaining. Two, because young people are wanting a different experience of church compared to what their parents had. And then maybe from the prosperity gospel church's perspective, people are trying to get rich and get healthy. And so they go to a prosperity gospel deal to find out the secret formula on how to get God's favor in their life, which, shocker alert, is not going to actually happen for them. So good question. Why'd you stay undercover for so long? A bunch of reasons. I mean, one, the account blew up in a way that was so out of control and out of hand, and I had no idea what was going on or what to do with it or what was going to happen. And so until I got more secure about what I was doing on Instagram and had a way forward, I was like, I'm going to stay anonymous until I figure out what the plan is. And then very quickly that turned into kind of interesting element to the account. People were interested in this idea that somebody is anonymous but causing this huge stir. So I did that for 2 years, but it's exhausting. And, you know, when you write a book about authenticity, you in turn want to lead by example. Ductus exemplo is what we said in the Marine Corps, lead by example. And so I tried to do that by coming out in public. What's your favorite color? Orange. It's orange, but I don't know why. I guess I've always thought it was the best looking color. Thoughts on millennials / Gen Z leaving the church? I mean, the Big C church. I've heard about this issue basically since I've been involved with church. People are always leaving church. I think it's got to be part of what God is doing in a bigger way by refining the churches and showing them that, like, look, what we've done in the past hasn't been working and we need to reevaluate everything. And it's not to just get retention for retention's sake or to build donations. It's to actually figure out how to lead people in a way that gets them closer to God. And for a lot of people, whatever church was up until recent years has not worked for them. Also, you don't want to be like a church shopper. There's no perfect church. Churches are filled with imperfect people. But also, there's definitely some themes that I think need to change and some focuses that our churches have been making in a way that has detracted from the actual message of Jesus. Not a question, but a thank you for starting this account and engaging in the dialogue about the elephant in the room. Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to read flattering messages like that. I appreciate it. I have to hold on to those as people are terrible on the opposite end. Have you had any feedback from celebrity pastors? Yeah. Lots. You can hear my interview with Judah Smith at the end of the Preachers and Sneakers audiobook for his feedback. And for those that don't know, he's Justin Bieber's closest spiritual confidant and friend, I would say. Question, follow-up book coming soon? I don't know. It'll depend on how this book does, probably. So far, it's had a slow start, as expected. You know, not many people can do T.D. Jakes or Stephen Furtick numbers out the gate. A new unknown author putting out a book is pretty hard to have a huge splash. So the numbers have been disappointing, if we're honest. But apparently they're going to somehow take a turn. And so I don't have any huge burning ideas. I've got a couple minute ideas that could maybe be a good book, but it's going to take a lot of effort to build out another outline and all that stuff. And it's pretty freaking hard to write a book. How many foods are there? Well, there's crawfish and Chick-fil-A and Domino's. So that's three. And then there's Chipotle and In-N-Out. And Whataburger. So what is that? Seven foods? So I think there's seven foods. You watched the Orange Years doc yet? No, I haven't. What's your top SNCC show from the 90s? I'm assuming that means like the Nickelodeon show. Was All That on Nickelodeon? I think All That was on Nickelodeon. Crispy04, fan of gaming? Would you be tuning into E3? I do from time to time. Pretty interesting, especially if Battlefield 6 is part of E3. Very interested to see how Battlefield 6 is going to be, especially since I'm live streaming on Twitch. I'm usually streaming on Twitch playing Warzone or other games as well. So definitely a fan of gaming when I can do it, but it's hard to justify it when you have a newborn. So I do it like 20 minutes a week, probably. Leaders in churches that copy paste celebrity leaders / churches. How long will it last? Yeah, this is part of the issue, I think. The definition of success has turned into like a very consistent set of aesthetics and experiences for churches, and any up-and-coming church that wants to get any attention has to do the sexy curated caption clips on Instagram as well as the pitch black worship service with a pretty unsurprising worship band. I think there's going to be something that happens that shakes that whole setup significantly. I don't know what it is, but it's just such a repeated thing and causes such repeated experiences that we all can kind of agree are kind of tired. I think people are wanting, I want a more authentic church relationship, a more authentic, I don't want to say experience, because it's like you should be going after church for an experience. You should be going after church to fellowship with others, to seek after God, and to grow spiritually. So I think something's coming. I don't know what that is, but I'm hoping that people transition to a more authentic way of doing church and worship. How have you personally grown, and what have you learned in the process of starting the account? Don't start a sentence with first of all. That's a good thing to learn. Learned several things. I mean, I've learned how to set boundaries with social media a little better. You know, for the first year, I was spending like 8 or 9 hours a day on Instagram, trying to just like respond to everybody, comment on everything, and, you know, keep the engagement up because that's what matters. But it's just a never-ending cycle of insanity. And so if you don't set boundaries, you're going to lose your mind. So that's one thing. I've learned to empathize with other sides of the argument. I had never considered some of the nuance around gifting and side hustles and all this kind of stuff. So I at least have empathy for, I have empathy for the pastoral role. I've got empathy for worship leaders out there. But I also have empathy for people that have been hurt by church and that have real concerns with how they've been treated or how they perceive Christians in the mainstream. I empathize with those people a lot more now that I've done this for 2 years. And I've also learned that I think there's some real issues that are going on in our churches that need to be addressed. And it's an imperfect, the way I did it was an imperfect way of bringing them up, but I think it was helpful in its own way, I guess, and I've seen some fruit from it already. Okay, this is probably the last question since I gotta roll here shortly. Has the backlash that comes from your posts ever made you want to shut your account down? All the time. Like literally every day, because it's exhausting. And at this point, I know the type of responses I'm going to get. And it's a practice of figuring out how much responsibility you have for grown adults in a comment section, talking with other grown adults. Like, dude, it's impossible to, I can't control people. I could delete the account, but that also, I think, would be tabling a thing that has produced good fruit. But yeah, I post way less just because inevitably when I post, I have to deal with follow up from people that are pissed, and also people that want me to post things that they want me to post. You know, once I start posting again, people are always trying to get me to buy into their agenda and post the thing that they want me to post. And that is so obnoxious when people are like, post this, post this, post this. You got to post this. Oh, you got to post this. So the whole thing, I mean, I don't know if you could tell my tone. It's like a kind of burnt out from a lot of the things on social, just because it never stops. It never stops. And there's not a real concrete ending point. But I think it's important to continue discussing how we can be more authentic with others, with ourselves, and on social media, and also authentic, get our churches to be authentic about who Jesus was and what it means to die to yourself and actually follow him. And, you know, if I can get people to start questioning those things and wrestling with those things, it seems like the account is a net positive, but in the short term, it is exhausting to post. I'm definitely posting a lot less because the point's kind of been made. The book has been written. My thoughts about the subject are really in the book and in the podcast for over 40 episodes now, which is a lot of episodes, I think. So yeah, good question. And I doubt I'll be running this account forever. I mean, I don't want to be posting about pastoral footwear for the rest of my life. I would like to move on to bigger and better things. But in the meantime, still going to manage it. I'm still going to do this podcast. I like doing the podcast, and it's fun to talk with interesting, smart people about some of these topics. It's fun to talk with you all in DMs or on comments or in the chat to get your perspective and hear about your stories. And I encourage you to always, if you've got a story or a thought about this, definitely email me or DM me. I'm happy to look at it and happy to respond if I can get to it. So that's a small sampling of the questions that I got in over Instagram. Thank you to everybody that participated in my little Q&A solicitation there, I guess if you could call it that. I appreciate y'all watching the pod. I know it's a random time. It's like 1:51 p.m. on Wednesday? So I didn't expect many people to be on, but this will come out. I'm going to post this right after this if I can get the editing done. and you can listen to it whenever. And hopefully it was a nice change of pace. And again, if you haven't gotten the book yet, would love it if you bought the book. And if you can't afford the book, just send me an email and we can figure it out. I don't want cost or price to limit anybody from wanting to read the book. That would be heinous. So just email me if you can't afford the book or if money is an issue, just let me know. You can also get it on Audible, Kindle, all that kind of stuff for a little cheaper price. And maybe by now there's some used copies out there floating around. It's a pretty easy book to read, so I imagine people are going to be relisting it at some point to sell used. And, you know, subscribe to the pod, subscribe to the Twitch. I'm going to be playing some Warzone here and there, which is fun, and that has nothing to do with Preachers and Sneakers, but trying to branch out the content a bit to make it interesting, not only for you, but also for me. Doing the same thing over and over and over gets pretty old. So subscribe to the Twitch, subscribe to YouTube. I'm going to be building out some more content there on YouTube as well. And yeah, just keep in touch. Follow the Instagram at Preachers and Sneakers. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. This is episode 4, I think, and going to continue to do it live like this, assuming I can get my words straight and not have a ton of awkward pauses like that one that just occurred. But yeah, subscribe to the pod, listen to the past episodes, and tune in probably in a week and a half or so for the next episode of the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. Hope you guys have a great week. Much love. Just hope you have a great week, and I appreciate you spending the time to listen to this podcast. There's a million podcasts out there, so you don't really have much reason to listen to this one, but I appreciate everybody that does. And yep, I'm going to sign off here. Much love. Peace.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.